In place, anybody else got a word of testimony? I'm going to cut you off tonight. Ain't you glad you saved? Amen. Luke chapter number 10 this evening. I've been chewing on this passage of Scripture, and seemed like the more I chew, the bigger it gets. And so I want to start in on a few things this evening. We'll see what the Lord will do with it. If you will, stand with me out of reverence reading of God's Word. I've been studying that Psalm 22. I've been in that thing, studying it for a little over a month now. And that thing's rich, man. And be honest, the more I study it, I just don't see any way we're going to be able to preach it in a service, one service. And so we're just letting the Lord lead us on what we need to do. Y'all probably hearing that on Sunday mornings. Thank God for Calvary. I'm so thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother A.L. was talking about that day the Lord come to him, that divine intervention. And boy, I'm thankful for that day in my life. But that day's only possible because of that divine day on a hill called Calvary 2,000 years ago, where the Lord set his face and went up there and endured everything for you and for me. And I'm thankful for that this evening. And I want to preach tonight. Look at these verses, Luke chapter number 10. And begin reading in verse number 38. And this will be familiar text. And I'll probably not say much new this evening that you hadn't already heard in a dozen other messages out of this text. But I want us to get our mindset on some things for tonight and then for some weeks ahead. The Bible said, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" I'm interested tonight in verse number 39 is where we'll take our text from. The Bible said, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words." The Lord's given me several messages here lately out of this passage of Scripture. And tonight I just want to simply preach on this thought, sitting in the presence of God. Sitting in the presence of God. Father, I love you tonight, and I want to thank you this evening for your goodness and for your grace. And Lord, on this prayer meeting night, we're mindful again that you said in your word that your house would be called the house of prayer. God, we've tried to dedicate this service and time in this service, Lord, to call on the name of the Lord. Lord, we know probably this evening we ought to pray more. And yet, Father, we've come and we have poured our petitions out to Thee. And I pray, God, you'd answer every prayer, every need may it be met tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, most of all this evening, I want to ask you one more time that you'd empower your word. And Father, the passage and the text that's before us would become alive in our hearing and in our midst. Lord, may your word have an effectual moving and working in our hearts and lives. Lord, not just for these few moments we're gathered together, but Father, when we leave this place, and Father, we tuck ourselves in bed tonight, I pray that the message would not escape us. And Lord, tomorrow morning when we wake up, Father, I pray that it continue to burn on our hearts. And Father, may we endeavor to live our lives in the presence of God. And Lord, all that you do for us, we'll bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated this evening. As we draw our attention to this text, we understand Luke chapter number 10 is filled with many things we can deal with tonight. You'll understand you have the sending out of the 70 disciples in this passage of Scripture. There are several interactions that take place in the ministry of the Lord. There's a confrontation in verse 25 as a lawyer asked the Lord, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 25. And you have that interaction between the lawyer and the Lord, and even the giving of the story of the Good Samaritan. Samaritan there as the Lord gives that account. But when we come this passage of Scripture, the Lord, I believe, retires himself. The Bible said in verse 38, it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And so we find the Lord enters into a certain village. I'll deal with that in a moment. But we find that when he gets to a certain village, he enters into a very specific location, into the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It's identified in this passage as a woman named Martha received him into her house. And we know this tonight, but Jesus was God in the flesh, the Son of God. Everywhere that Jesus went, it was God. In fact, we're in the Christmas season and we're reminded of the birth of Christ, the conception of Christ in a virgin womb, conceived the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that they would call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. And everywhere Jesus went, he was Emmanuel. It was God with us. Everywhere that his foot stepped, it was the presence of God that entered in to villages and towns and cities and houses and dwellings and among people. The Lord allowed through his Son the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, the presence of God went. And when he comes to this certain village and enters into this very specific house of Mary, Martha, she receives him in. The Bible said in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And so we find as he enters in this certain village and in the house of Martha, and there was something about the presence of God entering in unto that realm, in the realm of Mary's life. And Mary stopped what she was doing and literally sat down in the very presence of God. When the Lord walked in, everything going on in Mary's life, my friend, became secondary. Everything she was involved in, my friend, gave way unto the presence of God that entered into that house that evening or that day or whatever time it was when the Lord walked in. Mary's labor stopped when the Lord stepped in that day. My friend, he was the most important thing. She didn't care who else was in the house. She didn't care, my friend, what anybody else was saying. She was not, my friend, interested in any other thing than that of the presence of God that has just intervened in her life. And I'm thankful to that, as Brother A.L. has testified, and we all can testify this evening, that are saved for the day, at the presence of God met you in that where we were. And I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but what a day that was when the presence of the Lord met you in that in our life, where we were, exactly where we were, and made the difference in our life. But I'm thankful in that that God continues to manifest his presence, and God has a continued effort in our lives whereby that, my friend, his presence would be real, my friend, in our Christian walk in life with the Lord. I'm thankful tonight when John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos, my friend, got caught up in the Spirit and the revelation of Christ, and he said that he seen the seven candlesticks, said, and in the midst of those candlesticks, the Bible said that the Lord Jesus Christ himself was walking in the midst, my friend, of those churches. I think of that tonight. I'm mindful this evening that, Brother Dean, the Lord is interested in manifesting his presence in the church. And tonight I'm glad that he's been doing that in Calvary in weeks gone by. I don't know that we've had what we would call a bad service. I'm sure we've not tapped the full potential of a good service. I'm convinced of that. My friend, it seems like the Lord is reminding you of that in days gone by, that he longs to manifest manifest himself. He desires, my friend, to pass by. He desires, my friend, to give you an act of that which others, my friend, often days do not get to enjoy. I'm mindful of that, that he's not only interested in the presence of God being manifest in the church and in our congregation, but in my life as an individual. The Lord is interested, my friend, in his presence being real. And in fact, my friend, if all you know the presence of God is what you get around here on Sunday, I feel sorry for you. Amen. There's been days in my life, amen, in the secret place where the presence of God came down and God reminded me that he longed for me to be able to enjoy his presence. There's been days riding down the road in my truck or in my car and going about the business of the day and laboring and in survey, seeming like that, amen, on the passenger side, the Lord just opened up the door. Amen, I don't know how it does it, running 90 miles an hour down the road. Amen, but every now and then he'll open up that door and he'll step in and began to manifest his presence and remind me, my friend, of the importance of living in the presence of God. Now, let me say this tonight. The presence of God is not something that's mystical. It's not something, my friend, that is unattainable. It's not something that, my friend, that is for a certain group and a certain crowd. I'm mindful even in this text, the Lord showed up, amen, in a whole village that day, and anybody could have said, Lord, you can come into my house, but it was Martha that received him there. And even as he comes in the house, I'm mindful that, my friend, there's at least two people in that house, and probably at least three people in that house, if not more. And yet, my friend, only one in that house understood the importance and the necessity of enjoying and living and basking and sitting in the very presence of God. Let me say this tonight. You'll see in a moment that when the Lord walked in, Mary stopped her servant and she sat down in the very presence of God. And so I just want to work our way through this and make some observations tonight about this thought of sitting in the presence of God. Amen. Notice with me tonight, amen, number one, these five or six things I give you this evening, just as quick as I can, and I left my phone in the office. I don't know what time I started, I won't know what time I quit, but amen, I'll preach till y'all start frowning, okay? Amen. That more than one of you, amen. And so notice with me tonight, sitting in the presence of God. And I come this text in verse 38 again. The Bible said, now it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village. I'm interested tonight in the place of sitting in the presence of God. The Bible tells you and I in this text says the Lord is making his way through the land, and my friend, he stumbles upon a certain village. It doesn't identify the village. It doesn't tell us the name of the town in this text. Just seemingly the Lord is passing by it, and he's looking for a place that he can show up in and do something in and sit down in and be received in. We understand this according to this text, and the Bible said it was in the house, amen, a certain house of a woman. It was named Martha. We know she has a sister Mary, and according, my friend, to John 11, we read of a man by the name of Lazarus who had two sisters by the name of Mary and Martha. In John 11 and in other places, we're told at where they resided, where their house was in a little town called Bethany. It's interesting, and I'll show you in the next several weeks, but it's interesting to study the life of the Lord and to consider all the time
times the Lord went to Bethany. My friend, this wasn't the only occasion that He showed up. And that reminds me tonight and tells me and teaches me that the Lord don't just want to manifest Himself one time in my life. Rather, He wants it to be a continual fact and a daily thing and an often thing in my life where I experience the presence of God. My friend, in this place of sitting down in the presence of God, consider with me of this place of Bethany tonight. A lot of things we could say and will say in days to come about Bethany and what took place there. Tonight I'm just interested in that place, Bethany. A name Bethany, the city, certain village of Bethany that He entered into literally means of the house of depression or the house of misery, or it deals with the place of pain. And so as the Lord's making His way, He's looking, my friend, where should He manifest Himself? Where does He need to go? What crowd does He need to show up and pay a visit to? And of all the places He could have gone, amen, I'm glad tonight that I learned that the Lord is interested in that crowd that lives in a house of depression, in the house of misery, and in places of pain. The Lord knows that we need His presence. He didn't show up to a crowd that had it all together. He didn't show up to a crowd that my friend was singing, amen, joy to the world, the Lord has come. They weren't just singing Amazing Grace and shouting it out and jumping pews. My friend, He showed up to a crowd whose whole life has been identified with pain and misery and trouble. Can I say tonight, amen, I feel like preaching right now. Amen, I'm telling you, there's been days I've lived down in the house of depression. And you know what helped me? And you know what I learned that I needed? More than a relocation, more than another village, more than another city, that I needed the presence of God to help me. Amen. In the house of depression, thank God, the Lord is interested. And you say, preacher, I'm so far down, and the Lord surely is not interested in me. My friend, I learned from this text, it don't matter how far you are down. It doesn't matter how deep the pain. It doesn't matter how deep the grief. It doesn't matter the measure, my friend, of your misery. The Lord is interested, especially in that crowd that can't help themselves. Amen. Martha and Mary and those in Bethany and Mary even that day. My friend, they can't help themselves. Amen. They can't get out of where they're located. Maybe they was born in. My friend, this place of depression. Maybe they've been forced there because of circumstances in their life. I don't know. I don't know this. And the Lord passed by that day. Amen. He said, there's Bethany. There's the house of depression. This is where the crowd goes. It's at the end of their rope. That's where the crowd goes. It doesn't know up from down. Here's where people end up who don't like the circumstances they're in. I'll go by there and I'll see if there's anybody that I can help down in Bethany. And I say, I'm glad I've learned tonight, amen, that the Lord is interested in manifesting His presence in them times. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm so far down, there ain't no help. Amen. There ain't no help in you. And there ain't no help in you belonging to this church. Amen. Wake up, friend. I'm telling you. Amen. In many days, probably all of us said, I'm not saying it's right. Amen. And we ought to live in victory. And thank God we can live in victory. But you live long enough and you'll wind up in misery. You'll wind up in depression. Amen. Your preacher gets depressed. Amen. Your pastor gets miserable. Amen. I wind up in pain sometimes. And I don't know what to do. But you know what? I'm glad I can tell you of tonight. And as the Lord passes by and looks for a crowd to help, He's interested in those that live in Bethany. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want help tonight, I believe you'll get it. Amen. Just knowing that the Lord don't mind showing up. It don't matter how big a pity party you throw. Anybody else in here ever get guilty of throwing a pity party? Son, I can throw one. I can throw one. I mean, and let you say, hey man, you ought to be living in Victory. I know I ought to be. You pray for me that I'll get there. I can throw a pity party. Hey man, everything don't always go well in my life. There's days, Brother Gerald, it seems like everything I touch and it turns to gold. And then there's other days, my friend, it seems like the very gates of hell is out to get me down there and to wreck me and to ruin me. There's been days people have let me down. There's been days I didn't understand that. Hey, when you say, but Jeff, I'm saying it. I know what it is to reside in Bethany. I don't know what it is, Seth. And you get down there to know that the Lord is interested in manifesting His presence in your life. The place, notice with me, the person. We see the place, yeah, sitting in the presence of God. But notice with me, the person, the Bible said that he goes to this certain village, he enters in the very house of Martha. Evidently, her name is on the deed. But when he walks in, amen, the Bible said she had a sister, verse 39, she had a sister called Mary. Now, I won't be long on this point, but one thing that stands out to me is evidently, amen, the way she responded to the presence of the Lord. This is not the first time that my friend he's been by there. And this is not the first time that she has experienced his presence. Would you agree with me on that? And I read this text, it doesn't appear to me that Mary is a stranger of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Evidently, the way she responds when he comes in, the way that Martha is talking to the Lord, amen, evidently he's already had an ongoing relationship with those that reside in Bethany in this very house. And so tonight what I'm interested in this person is evidently this was a saved woman. Evidently there had been a time, listen, she hadn't always known the Lord. Amen. She hadn't always known who He was. And we're not given the background in the ministry of the Lord of exactly when their paths had crossed, Seth. They're not giving the details, my friend, but we know this. Hey, my friend, somewhere in the ministry of the Lord, amen, somewhere in the life of Mary, amen, somewhere on the, amen, along the Judean hillside, Seth, my friend, his path crossed her path, Seth, and her life was never the same. Amen. One day she got up. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm preaching in the white part of the page. Brother Tim, one day she got up and is going to live her life the way she's always lived her life. My friend, one day in her life, she met a man that was unlike any other man she had met and it turned her world upside down. Amen. Can I say I'm glad that the Lord and my friend is interested in manifesting Himself again and again and again. I remember before I got saved, I'd go in the times of corporate worship and in times of church services, in times of camp meeting, in times of revival meeting, and God would pass through. Evidently, He'd pass through. I've been times of seeing my daddy again in the presence of God. There's been times of heard my mama praying in the presence of God. I can think back as a boy and remember times when my grandpa, amen, would just cut loose, Seth, and enjoy the very presence of God. I can think of times going down on a Pleasant View camp meeting as a boy twice a year, Seth, and Brother A.L.C. in the presence of God, Seth, fall down, Seth, but as a stranger to it, Seth, I didn't know anything about it, Seth. My friend, I'm telling you, Seth, up in the First Baptist Church in Garden City, Michigan, amen, I walked in a lost hellbound of preacher's kid, death. And my friend, God met me that night. And God began to manifest His presence in my life on September the 14th, 1996. Amen. I got gloriously saved because the Lord manifests Himself in my life. I'm glad that when I couldn't get to Him, when I could not stand in His presence, thank God He came to me. Amen. He saved me as a result of His presence being manifest in my life. She's a saved woman, and I say the Lord is interested, my friend, in the saved tonight. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. My life is hurting, and my life is in a mess. I'm in a time of grief. I'm in a time of burdens and depression. Amen. Can I tell you tonight? Amen. If you're saved, you have a Heavenly Father that is absolutely interested. Amen. Not just in showing up to save you, but showing up again. And again and again, just because you're one of His children. She was a saved woman. Can I say this? That she was a special woman. Amen. You say, well, is everybody special in the Lord? Sure they are. Amen. But even in the Lord's earthly ministry, amen, even His relationship with the 12 disciples, we understand that He had a unique relationship with all 12 in relation, and lad and my friend, His relationship with strangers about it. We also know out of them 12, He had 3 on His inner circle. We know that even out of the 3 in the inner circle, there's one that's known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. In other words, John the Beloved was my friend, a special individual. Can I remind you in John 11, amen, in verse 2 and in verse number, amen, 2, and you'll read down 3, 4, 5, maybe verse 6, and the Bible makes special reference to the fact that Jesus loved them, and He loved Lazarus, and He loved Mary, and He loved Martha. Can I say it? That Mary was special to the Lord. And can I remind you tonight, the person had said in the presence of God, amen, Him showing up in her life again, I reminded her how special that she really was. Can I say this tonight? And when the Lord showed up that day, Mary hadn't got over the fact that the Lord showed up way back there in her life, and she was headed to hell. She hadn't got over it, amen. And when He walked in again, He said, there's the one that saved me. There's the one that changed my life. And God in His presence all over again. And He showed up. She was reminded that He still loves me. He still cares for me. Even though I live in Bethany. Even though I ain't got it all together. Even though I feel like I'm drowning. He showed up. And I'm very special to the heart of God. And I remind you tonight that you're special to the Lord. I've often been humored, my friend, in my life and growing up around what we are. And I'm not apologizing for what we are. We are what we are. We're old-time Bible believing. Amen. King James Bible thumping, slobber slinging, snotting, shouting, hand raising, screaming, Independent Baptist. Amen. That's what we are. But I've often got amazed, Brother A.L., in my Christian life and just sitting back and observe it. We have sinners that will walk up and we'll tell them the Lord loves you and you're special in the Lord and you ought to be saved, and we'll magnify it. That's how special they are, the Lord. And they'll walk the aisle, tears running down their face, can't believe that my friend, somebody like him, would think somebody like them special. And they walk the aisle and they get saved. And they go back to their pew, and then we tell them, bless God, don't you mess up. You mess up and God will strike you down and God will beat you down and you'll be under the judgment of God. Amen. And we reverse the message. Can I say, amen, hallelujah. Hey, before I got saved, I was special to Him. Amen. All the mess I had made out of my life. Can I remind you tonight that you're still special to God? Ain't a person here tonight that has it all together. together. There's not a person in it. Oh, that my friend lives all the time in Jerusalem, the city of God. There's times we go to Bethany. There's times we stay there longer than we should. When he showed up there again, and she was reminded that not only was she saved, but she was special to the heart of God. You are special tonight. Amen. I don't care what your children have told you. You're special to God. I don't care, my friend, what your parents have told you. And shame on any parent that had to talk down to their children and tell them they're stupid. It ain't going to make it in life. You're a moron for a parent. Amen. I'm glad God don't treat me like that. But in spite of what your parents may have raised you to believe, amen, you're special in the heart of God. And every time he shows up, you know what he's reminding you with? And he loves you. He loves you as much today as he loved you yesterday. Amen. You're special to the heart of God. Amen. I'm glad that I'm special to him. Amen. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. I feel like we ought to be jumping pews. I'm telling you tonight, this person sitting in the presence of God, amen, we see she was a saved woman, but she was a special woman. Number whatever I'm on, number next, the place and the person, but I'm interested a little bit tonight. I think this will help us now. Notice the position in sitting in the presence of God. Did y'all catch what the Bible said? Amen. The Bible said that she had a sister called Mary. And notice what the Bible said here, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Amen. It wasn't like that she just pulled a chair up and put her on the same, trying to put herself on the same level as God. No, when he showed up and he sat down and entered into that village of Bethany and into the specified place in Martha's house is received therein, when he sits down, the Bible said that Mary, my friend, not only sat in the presence of God, but she took a position in that sitting, and she put herself at the feet of the Lord. Amen. Can I say that's where we ought to dwell? And that's where we ought to put ourselves at. I've heard some preachers and heard some church members talk like that, my friend, you'd listen to them, you'd think that them and God was on the same level. I got news for you. We're out of the dirt. We'll always be out of the dirt. There's never, my friend, an unattainable dwelling in the presence of God. And when the Lord walked in, Mary said, I'll get down in the dirt at his feet. Notice with me, when I study Mary's life, every time the Lord came by, you know where you find her? Every time, are you listening? Every time you see her in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, every time the presence of God gets near her, she's always found at the feet of Jesus. The position is, in this text here tonight, a position of dwelling and sitting in the presence of God. Amen. Notice with me here in this passage, I see it's the position of discipleship. The Bible said she was sitting at Jesus' feet and what? And heard his word. When God showed up, she realized it didn't really matter what Martha had to say. When he showed up, it didn't really matter what her big mouth brother Lazarus had to say. When he showed up, the only thing that mattered was he's here, and every time he comes around, he's got a word, he's got something for me to hear. And I say we do ourselves well to learn to live in the presence of God. Amen. To position ourselves in His faith. Amen. Friend, just listen to what He has to say. Amen. I don't want to give you the wrong idea tonight. I thank God for preachers. I are one. Amen. Friend, I'm not nearly as interested in what a man has to say tonight as I am what God has to say tonight. I know oftentimes what He has to say, and it comes from the pulpit and the preaching of His Word. Oftentimes He shows up, amen, in a service, and in a service as He's passing by Samaria and is throwing out His Word, and it finds a lodging place in our heart. Can I remind you, it is absolutely of necessity you learn to sit at His feet as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my business to make disciples after me. It's your job as a saved individual to become a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus that knows how to hear what the Lord has to say. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we've got a lot of things backwards. Come on now, we got a lot of things flipped around that ain't so biblically. Jesus said this, "My sheep know My voice. They hear My voice and they follow Me." Amen. We got parents and we got pastors and we got, my friend, people in places of authority that act like they're the spokesman for God. And I'm not saying that on every level that's wrong, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, you got a direct line to the voice of God in your life. You might as well say, "Man, we ain't Catholics tonight. Thank God for preachers and give us the Word and give us instruction and grow us in what the Lord has said in His Word." But at the end of the day, I'm telling you, if you're saved, He's your shepherd, and you ought to learn to sit in His presence and, my friend, hear His Word. Yeah, you'd be amazed how many folk come, and I'm, listen, please don't take wrong what I'm saying. I know there's another side of the coin, but Brother Jack, that there's people that have been saved for years and years and years, and their whole Christian life is rooted in either a pastor or a parent or a peer or somebody that they look up to spiritually. I've got news for, and there's nothing wrong with getting counsel. Please don't take me wrong now, but I'm telling you, Mary learned that at the end of the day, she had to get alone in the presence of the Lord and hear what He had to say to her. Amen. It's a good day in my life when I realize, when God saved me, He birthed me as a sheep. I'm a sheep in His fold. And He's my chief shepherd, and He's the one leading me and directing me. And I know He does it through His Word, and I know there's been days He's done it through mom and dad and grandpa and grandma, and He's done it through preachers and meetings I've been in, and I'm so thankful for it. Hey, man, I had a deacon tell me one time, he come in my office, he said, "God said for me to tell you this," and he began to proceed. And I let him go on, and when he got done, I said, "I just got one problem. I didn't know me and the Lord had any trouble talking to each other." In fact, when I got up this morning, I talked to him. Amen. He didn't tell me nothing like what you're telling me. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, to understand that when you got saved, you became a disciple of the Lord. Amen. You ought to love Him and follow Him and be all you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sitting in the presence of God, the position of getting down at His feet makes you a disciple of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Whose feet you been sitting at? Woo, hallelujah. Y'all better write that down. That ain't even in the notes. Whose feet you been sitting at? Whose life have you sat down in and yielded yourself to above that of the presence of God? I'm telling you, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Hey, man, there's been days that preacher said, "Oh, that better, he's messing up. He ain't doing it the way we would do it." Hey, man, but I'd done been in the presence of God and He had done spoken to me. I'd become His follower. Hey, man, hallelujah. I'm thankful today. Hey, man, for the place, the position, and you can hear what God has to say. Sitting at His feet, discipleship. John 11, they send word to the Lord, said, "Lazarus, our brother, the one you love, he's sick." Jesus turned His disciples and said, "His sickness ain't unto death." Y'all know the story. I ain't got to go through all of it. Lazarus dies, and the Lord's making His way toward Bethany. And before He even gets to Bethany, Martha hears that He's coming. And she gets up, runs out of the house, and my friend engages the Lord in conversation. And she's upset, and she's mad, and she's grumbling, and she's griping with the Lord. The Lord graciously deals with her and graciously gives her a word. But the whole time she's standing, she's gouging, she's lifted up. My friend, wondering why the Lord didn't do it her way. Watch this now. The Lord gets done with Martha. And Brother Mark, Martha runs back the house and says, Mary, the Lord's come into town and He wants to see you. John chapter 11. I'm talking about the position. Every time you see her now, she's at the feet of the Lord. Lord, this is good. This helped me so much when the Lord showed me this. Gerald, Martha's standing around. She's bold-faced, taking the Lord on. Word gets back to Mary. Mary, can we all look at it real quick? Can I show it to you? Look in John 11. Man, some of y'all are looking cross-eyed. Hang with me now. John 11. John 11 and in verse number 28. And when she had so said, speaking of Martha, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. The Master is come, there's His presence. And Mary, we know you're saved and we know you're special. He's calling for you. He knows what we've been through. He knows why I may not like it. I may not understand. I've been trying to straighten Him out on it. But Mary, now the Master has come and now He's calling for thee. Now notice the contrast in Martha and Mary, the presence of God. As soon as she heard that, she didn't hasten, she didn't delay. The Bible said she arose quickly and came unto Him. You know what she's about to learn? That when you're hurting beyond belief, when pain has been multiplied, when misery has been multiplied, when depression has been duplicated over in your life, and the Lord shows up, you better get to where the Lord is. Verse 31, the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her. Boy, they were miserable comforters. They ain't been able to help her. Look up in here now. The Bible said they were comforting her, but she's still weeping, she's still hurt, and she still hasn't found the relief she needs. Amen. And when they saw Mary, that she rose up, hastened, went out, followed her, said, she goeth on the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, watch it now, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now on the surface, that looks like, Sister Ella, that looks like that she's maybe rebuking the Lord. I don't think she is. All it is a brokenness of her heart. Speak it. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I know that you've got power. I know you had enough power that had you showed up when he was sick, you could have raised him up. And now my brother's dead. But the whole point of it is, and in the midst of all her pain, when the Lord showed up and called her to come, she came, got down at his feet, and took the position of surrender. She don't like what's going on. She don't like the way the Lord's unfolded it and allowed it to happen. She knows, in fact, that had the Lord chose, He could have done it the very way that she wanted it done. When the Lord showed up in Bethany that day, amen, she come out when he showed up. She's getting down in the dirt at his feet. Brother Dave, what she's saying is, I don't like it. I don't understand it. I know it could have been different, but your will be done. You're the Lord, and I'm not. I'm confused, and I know, amen, I know very easily you could have done it the way that we wanted it done. But I'm in the dirt. Surrender to your will. Surrender to all the pain and the grief and the loss that I'm going through. Lord, it's all about you. And I say there's been times in my life that I hadn't lived it, and there's been times in my life I have.
Lucas, you'll never go wrong, son, getting down in the dirt when you don't know up from down, when you don't like the way God has unfolded it. Amen. When He shows up, just put yourself down in the dirt. Say, Lord, I'm surrendered. I don't like it, but I'm surrendered to all that You're trying to do in this situation. John chapter 12, Lazarus has now been raised. You got Lazarus sitting at the table with the Lord. He went from the tomb to the table. Amen. We could preach there a little while. My friend Martha's running around like Martha does, trying to stay busy. The Lord's sitting there. The Lord's back at her house again. Yes, sir. Sitting at her table again. Wanting to help those that are in her house all over again. I don't know what her problem is, but she's so busy. My friend Mary comes out of the back room. She's got a little old box of ointment. Woo! Hallelujah. Bible said she got down at His feet and broke open that box and began to anoint His feet and to wash His feet with her tears and dry them with the hairs of her head and pour that ointment out and began to put herself in the position of worship. And I say the presence of God and the position of sitting in the presence of God at His feet, it not only is a position of discipleship and surrender, but it's actually where we worship God. Brother Larry, there's nothing like it. When He manifests Himself and you say, oh Lord, I'm going to give worship. There's something about that. In fact, Brother Mark, the Bible said when she broke it open, said the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Amen. When's the last time you got in His presence? We've tried to emphasize worship this year and we'll probably emphasize it next year. Brother Dean, just getting in His presence and saying, Lord, I'm going to get in the dirt where I belong and I'm going to lift high all the odors of praise that belong to You. Amen. Y'all want some more? What number am I on? I'm on number 3, number 4, number next. 4 or 5 or wherever we are. She's sitting there at the feet of the Lord. Brother Mike, she's hearing His Word. And now Martha comes in the room. Oh, Martha. Martha had to be a Baptist. She had the poochy lip disease. She comes in and she says, Lord, watch it now. Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me? Is that what it said? Notice the promptness in sitting in the presence of God. Martha said, Lord, when You showed up, I wasn't as important to her as I was when You come in my house. She left me. She left me. You know what that tells me? That tells me as soon as the Lord stepped in that house, Martha left the dishes, or Mary left the dishes in the sink. And when she left the dishes in the sink, that was Martha's time to follow Mary to get the presence of God. Martha thought the dishes were more important than the presence of God. You know what I learned from Mary? Mary was prompt when the Lord showed up. She didn't wait. She didn't wait long. In fact, even in John 11, when He was on the way and entered in, and Martha come to her and said, the Master's here and He's calling you. Bible said she got up and went. She didn't hasten. There was a promptness. Every time the Lord shows up, she's quick to sit in His presence and get down in His feet. So what are you saying? I'm saying when the Lord passes by, whether it's in your individual life, private life, or a church service, you probably better not put it off too long. You know what I think Mary had in her mind? I think Mary probably thought, I don't know if He'll come by again, but He's come by today. I better hurry up and enjoy it before He gets on out of here, because He don't stay long and He'll go help somebody else. But I don't know if He'll ever come back by this way again. And so when He comes in, she's prompt to get up and sit in the presence of the Lord. Notice the priority in sitting in the presence of God. Jesus looks at Martha and he said, "Martha, Martha, you got to love that." That's what I feel like saying to church members sometimes. "Gerald, Gerald, Gerald." Amen. That's how you feel sometimes, because it's like people don't get it. People that ought to get it don't get it. And the Lord said, "Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about many things." You got too much going on in your mind, and you got too much going on in your life, and you're trying to get all this stuff done and accomplish, and I've just showed up. And what you got to understand, watch what he said. He said, "But one thing is needful." It's the priority in sitting in the presence of God. And I remind you, there's no greater priority in your life than enjoying and living in and being in the presence of God. In fact, the phrase here the Lord uses, "one thing is needful," means that above everything else going on in your life, you need the Lord to show up. And when He shows up, you need to sit in the presence of God. You know the difference in Martha and Mary? Martha thought, "Well, at least he's in the house. At least he's in town. At least he's passing by." Mary said, "Oh no, I've got too many needs in my life. I've got too many issues going on. Lazarus ain't been able to help me. Martha ain't been able to help me." And she knew that the needful place of her life in the position she was in was to live in and dwell in and sit in and get help from the presence of God. One thing needful. Amen. Notice with me the praise for sitting in the presence of God. Here's what the Lord said. "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good." She's chosen the good part. We preach service and we're not going to stop. You've got to serve the Lord. Knock doors, pass tracts out, teach classes, sing in the choir, serve the Lord in every way that you can find to serve the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, all that you and I do, and I can prove this from the statement the Lord made. The Lord said what she's chosen, what I'm praising her for, said it can't be taken away from her. Watch this. Why not? Because it wasn't about what she was doing for the Lord. It was about what she got in the presence of God was about what the Lord had done for her. Amen. They wasn't a devil this side of hell could take away what God had done in her heart. You listen to what I'm getting ready to say. The answer for every problem you have in your life is getting in the presence of God and letting God help you. There have been days I tried to lean on my wife and found no help. And she's a big help. She's helped me a many a days when other people could. There's been days I've leaned on preacher friends and my father and my grandfather only to find out that only the presence of God could help me. And when you get in the presence of God and God does it, it's done and it can't be taken away. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 years ago, I left my first church. I left hurt, wounded, upset, depressed, miserable. I remember a preacher friend called me up one day, and he said, "I just want to tell you," and he got in this story about something that church had said about me that was ludicrous. Just an absolute lie, ludicrous lie. And I remember I was so wounded and hurt already. I hung the phone up. I got in my truck. I can tell you right where I sit in the Spartanburg cookout in Spartanburg, South Carolina. It was a 3.5 hour ride back to High Point, North Carolina. When I got off the phone, I sat down in that truck, wounded and hurt and couldn't get over it, and said, "I'm going back and I'm going to blast somebody out. Somebody's about ready to pay for what they said." Started my truck up, every intention of leaving. Brother Jack, the God bear me witness, the presence of God come down in there and began to move in my heart and work in my heart. And what I'd been trying to get over for months, the presence of God did for me what I needed done. And Brother Mike, I hadn't struggled since. Why? Because what God does in God's presence, when you sit in the presence of God, it cannot be taken away. Now, if it's you working it up or somebody else working it up, whatever you're doing can be taken away. That's what the Lord's telling Martha. All the stuff you're trying to do, what she's chosen can't be taken away. That tells me everything Martha's been doing, the Lord's saying, it may or may not last for you. What are you saying, Brother Jeff? I'm saying there's something to sitting in the presence of God that God praises and God said, that's what you ought to choose. Above all that you're going through, choose the presence of God and choose to hear what He has to say. Choose to surrender to Him. Choose to worship Him. Choose to let Him meet the needs of what you're going through. Am I right? You show me one place in the Bible, somebody who got the presence of God and really let God help them. Show me where, my friend, it was ever taken away from them. Now, you may face another situation tomorrow and have to get more help, but God gives victory from battle to battle and from Bethany experience to Bethany experience. Amen. And when God does it, it'll last. It will last when God does it. So don't spin your wheels. Sit down. I loved what Brother Seal said. Sometimes the best thing to do, stop, eat like a hog, sleep like a log. You saw that's foolish. Won't you go try it? Hey, man, you try it and just say, Lord, I'm just going to detach from it all and just let you show up. When you show up, I'm going to get where I need to be and I'm going to let you do what you need to do. Amen. Have you ever been there? Are you there tonight? Hey, you might not be there tonight. You might be there tomorrow. This might be a shot in your arm for something you're getting ready to experience. But I'm telling you, no matter where you are tonight, His presence is of necessity. Amen. All right. Let's all stand. Father, I love You tonight, and I want to thank You this evening for Your goodness and for Your grace. I want to thank You, Lord, that You showed up in my life. Whew, Lord, I didn't deserve it, but Lord, You showed up. You convicted me of my sin. And Lord, You're so gracious to save me, and I bless You for it. And Father, now tonight, Lord, I want to thank You and bless You for all the times You've showed up since then. Lord, as we was reading through the Psalms today, even David, Lord, had to come to You and all His failures and, Lord, all His battles and all the times that, Lord, he was just wore out. Lord, You graciously poured out Your presence in his life. Father, Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, for my own life and own family and things, Lord, that we struggle with tonight that we've yet to let You help us with. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, to just let You come into our lives, into our little village, our little world. Help us, Lord, with the things that we have need of, Lord, so that what You do would be lasting. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, for others that are here tonight. Lord, I'm sure, Lord, we ain't got all our church members here tonight, but Lord, there's enough of them here that, Lord, I'm sure somebody tonight, Lord, knows what it is to be in a house in Bethany, the house of just misery, just miserable. Father, I pray the presence of God would run to their rescue tonight. Father, would You help them this evening? Lord, we're not necessarily going to give an invitation. Lord, You know these altars. Lord, these folk know these altars are always open. Lord, I pray more importantly in a few minutes on an altar. May, Father, we leave here tonight, Lord, trying to run to get in the presence of God. Lord, what You do for us, we'll be grateful for it. Continue to bless our church with Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all hearts free this evening.